Amen. So this morning, we're going to continue in the outline. We're going to talk about the laboring on the good land. And, you know, this whole topic of the true worshipers, the key word here, I think one of the, well, they're all important words, but the important word here is the true, this word true, right? We are here to focus on the reality. And, you know, if all we are doing is just learning more and just gaining more knowledge, then what good is it? There has to be truth and reality in our daily living. It has to translate into something. And in order to do that, you know, it's not enough just to sit here and listen to, go to conference after conference and being in the meetings and just maybe while you're in the meeting you might say, well, yes, that's a very good word. I agree 100%. But then when we step out of the meeting, we go back home, what do you do about it? You might have even forgotten what we talked about. So definitely we need to be diligent, and this is very important, right? You have to remember the word diligence. We must work hard at this. We need to look for every chance that we can to apply this word, to labor on Christ. And let's start with Deuteronomy 26. I'm going to deviate a bit from the outline, but it's kind of similar. Deuteronomy 26, let's read verses 1 to 11. Okay, you got it? All right. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and place it in the basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to one who is priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction, our labor, and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God. That rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you, and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. Amen. Amen. And I really appreciate these verses because it shows that what is given to the Father here, what is used as worship, the first fruits, these are taken from the land. And where did these things come from that they brought? the produce and everything that they brought before the Father, the first fruits, there's things that they had to be worked on. You know, they don't just appear just suddenly. Somebody had to actually plant the seeds. Somebody had to water it and cultivate it and work on it to make it grow. And the great thing is that this is all, everything was given by the Father. And, you know, this land, I like the description in verse 9, how it says, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's such a rich land. This description, every time you read about this land, you know, the Lord didn't just take the Israelites out of Egypt to escape slavery. That's not all he did. Right. He could have just said, okay, I bring you out of Egypt, now you're free. But it's even better than that. He saved them, but he also brought them into this rich land. Right? It's so much better. He did much more than their actual problem was. You see, their problem was being enslaved and under bondage and hardship. But what he gave them was even more than just this salvation. He gave them this rich land that they could enjoy. And this is how our God is. He's such a rich God. And he gives us so much more than we need. But now what he wants us to do, not just to live in the land, but also to grow something in it, or to work in it. Because the land may be rich, but if you don't do anything with it, then what good is that rich land? You know, in the last couple of years at home, just to teach the kids, you know, I decided to make a little vegetable garden. And I planted some corn, some carrots, beans, and to my disappointment, everything came out kind of tiny. Like my carrots were small and the beans were kind of small. Everything wasn't very good. The corn didn't mature. So, you know, that land is not a very rich land. Okay, needless to say, it was a poor land. But here, you know, if I go to, if I go to a farmer's market, or if I even the supermarket, you look at the onions are like this big, and the tomatoes are huge. You know, everything is so rich, and it's just amazing, right? There's such a huge difference in the quality of the land. But if I just have this piece of land, and I don't work on it, I don't grow anything out of it, then how can I experience the richness of the land? And so, you know, this is why our God is he's so wonderful, because he's more than just freed us, but he's given us such an abundance. He wants us to experience this in our daily life, right? And it would be such a sad thing if in our Christian life we don't experience how Christ is so rich, right? You know, yeah, you're saved, your sins are forgiven, you have brothers and sisters to fellowship with, maybe your life is all right, but, you know, can you really say that you've experienced Christ in such a rich way? That everything, you know, this land in the scriptures, it had everything they needed. You know, like today, where I come from in Canada, during the winter nothing grows. So where do we get our vegetables or fruits? We have to import them, and a lot of them come from California, right? So if you look at if you go to the supermarket, it says product of California or whatever, right? It comes from places where they do grow, or you know, we don't get oranges, we don't have tropical fruits, things like that, right? You have to import them. But this land had everything they needed. Right? This land, there was nothing that was lacking at all. Right. And this is the Christ that we have. We have to realize this, that everything we need, there's no lack in it at all. Amen. And, but, you know, this is just this is just something I'm saying to you. But if you don't go out and work on it and discover it and explore and, you know, and seek out the opportunities, you will not know. This will just be theory to you, right? And I really hope that we can all have this opportunity to experience and to really, you know, to see how rich he is and how everything we need is there, right? Let's look at Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 to 10. Another description about this land. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 to 10. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? There's no scarcity at all. It's a good land with brooks of waters and fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. You know, in some places in the world, you have water droughts, right? You guys know what that is, right? But there's no such thing here in this land. There is no dryness at all. There's always water, even flowing out of valleys and hills. You know, whenever there should not be, it is not a normal thing to be spiritually dry, right? To be hungry and to have no supply, right? If we are in this land, and we are, then we have access to all this. Amen. You know, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees. And verse 9, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Amen. Yeah, we really lack nothing. And it says here in verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Yeah, we can really praise the Lord for such a rich land. And, you know, in the New Testament, in Ephesians, if you look at chapter 3, this is something that came to my mind. In chapter 3, we know that this land, this rich land that has no lack, that has everything, refers to Christ, because here we can see Christ is also the one who is the source of unsearchable riches. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. Amen. Unsearchable riches. Amen. Is your Christ rich? Do you experience him as this? Yeah, this land. When I was a child, I learned about this good land, but I never equated him to Christ. I never equated this land to Christ today. Today I see that he has to be this land to me. Amen. Yeah, and here you see, if you read further down, you see from verse 18 and 19, right, it says, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Again, it shows us that we have such a width and length and depth and height. And there is the fullness of God. Yeah. How full is the fullness of God? Have you ever thought about that? It's pretty full. Right? It's so overflowingly, abundantly rich and full. Right? There's so much in there. And, you know, this width, length, and depth and height, it's something that we can comprehend with the saints. Right? So don't try to do it alone. You can't. This is why it's so wonderful that the Lord put us in the church, that we can comprehend this with all the saints. And it's for you to discover, right? For you to experience this. But, you know, if we don't, again, you know, if we don't work at it, if you don't go after it and search it out, then there's no way you can really experience this. Right? If this is all theory to you, then there's no way, right? You will, to you, you know, over the years in the church life, I see people, maybe some new believers, they start off really burning. And then maybe after a year, they start to get distracted by the Word. I can't touch anything in the Word anymore. I just don't feel, they just start to lose interest. When you read, it just feels like, it just seems like dry words. Or when you fellowship, people lose interest in the meetings or in fellowship, right? This is what happens when we don't diligently labor in the land, right? We expect everything to come instantly and free, right? But no, we have to really, there are so many opportunities for us to work at this, to things that happen to us in our life every day, you know, where we can really experience the richness of the Lord. And we'll get into that a bit later. John, something that I was reminded of in John chapter 6, verse 27. The question is, now what are we laboring for? John chapter 6, verse 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Amen. So what are we laboring for? You know, if you ask people what they do, I think it's very rare that people just say, I do nothing. I sit at home and do nothing. Most people, I hope productive people, will look for things to do. And ways to spend their time, whether it's working, whether it's, you know, I know some people like to work around the house, some people like to, they have hobbies they enjoy. Maybe you like to, most of your time is spent on homework or whatever, right? Depending on the stage of the life you're in, there are things that you spend your time on, right? And after you're done with school, your time is spent on your career, and people work hard at their career. Everybody knows, even in the people in the world knows, nothing is for free, right? There's no free lunch. Generally speaking, if you want to get anywhere in this world, you know, you want a decent career, you want to, you know, you want things to fall into place in life, generally speaking, you need to work at it. Even the people in the world know. Now, but somehow when it comes to our Christian life, we somehow expect things to just come freely and just appear, right? Like, you know, as if it's just, you know, it's, yes, our salvation, our initial salvation is free. But if you really want to experience Christ, you have to work on it. But if we are spending our limited resources, our time, our energy on the things that are just to benefit ourselves, to benefit this world, then we're really wasting our time. It is a real waste, right? We all know that one day the world will pass away. And what, and the more energy, even practically speaking, if you spend so much time and energy on yourself and your own interests, your own pleasures, then you will really lack the energy to spend with the Lord. Right? Even sometimes coming to the prayer meeting can be a struggle. I know. Sometimes I'm spending so much energy at work. By the time I get off work, I'm already so tired to go to the meeting. The meeting is at 7:30, and that's just about the time I'm starting to get good time for a nap, you know. Yeah, because I spent so much energy on that. You know, we have limited time and energy because we're human. But how do we spend it? Especially your time. At least your physical energy, you can kind of regain it. But time is something you can never regain back. So what do you spend it on? Right, and so that's what the Lord says here, right? Do not labor for food which perishes. It's really empty. Yeah, you know, sometimes when it comes to our own interests, the things that we like, our own aspirations, our own goals, we're so diligent. We'll put in so many hours, so much blood, sweat, and tears to gain it. And sometimes it's just to boost up our own pride to say, hey, look, you know, I've accomplished this. Look at me. Look at all my trophies and whatever. Things that, you know, figuratively and literally, right? So many things that I've achieved in my life. But what good is it, right? If we've missed out on experiencing the riches of Christ. Yeah, so, you know, that's where we really, this is, and even that is a labor to deny our own goals and aspirations in life, right? To put that aside, that is a labor. Labor is not easy. That's why it's called labor, right? You know, it's not, there is work involved. And work means you have to put in a bit of strength into it. You need to, you know, yeah, there's a bit of pressure. Sometimes a lot of pressure. Sometimes it hurts. You know, if you want to lose weight, for example, you can't just wish it away, right? You can't just, you know, maybe today you can use Photoshop and just like slim yourself down. But in reality, it doesn't work like that. You can't eat the foods you like. You know, maybe I like fatty fried foods. I can't eat that anymore, right? I have to, it's a pain, it's a suffering to deny that when I have that urge, right? Now I have to exercise more. It hurts, it's suffering. You know, even in such a thing, in something in this world, we know that there is a bit of suffering. Why is it that in the spiritual things, we expect it to come so easily, and we're so lazy when it comes to working at it, right? Even what we just talked about, to deny our own life, to deny our soul, to deny the things that we want. Yes, it hurts a bit. Yes, there is some suffering. Yes, we, you know, people may think we're stupid, we're foolish for doing that. But isn't that worth it? If you've seen how rich this Christ is, if you've seen how much you can grow in this land, right? Isn't that worth it? Yeah, so... Yes, it is. Yeah, and you know, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 9. This was speaking to me too. I'll just read it quickly. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen. You know, this, I really like how Paul describes this. Our life is a life of sowing and reaping, isn't it? You know, we can sow, we can plant so many different types of seeds. You know, you can, it depends on whatever you want. You know, if I want to plant carrots, I put in a carrot seed. If I want lettuce, I put in lettuce seed. You know, you plant whatever you want. It's up to you, right? Nobody's forcing you what type of seeds to plant. But you decide, do you want to gain eternal life? Do you want to gain a place in the kingdom? Do you want something that lasts forever, something eternal? Or do you just want some temporary worldly pleasures? Do you want something to just boost up your pride and your ego? Right? What are you after? And it's all up to you, right? And so it says, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Whenever your flesh desires something, do you let it go? Do you cultivate that? Maybe you have something you want in your heart, something you're lusting over, something you desire, something you want to achieve. Maybe it's something even just your emotions, right? I want to get mad at that person, or I want to, you know, I want something to so-called make me happy, right? Do you go after that? Do you pursue it and water that plant? Do you plant that seed, right? What do you think you'll get? Yeah, you might get some temporary soulish satisfaction, but in the end, what is the result? It's sin and corruption. It doesn't help you at all. It's just damage. Yeah, but it says, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen. Yeah. There are so many opportunities for us every day to sow to the Spirit. You know, we all need to learn when the Spirit is speaking to us. Come to the Word, allow the Word to come back to your memory. The Spirit will use the Word to speak to you, right? So many things He tells you, right? Don't say that, or come to me, or, you know, don't think about that. Many, many things, or change your life's goals. There are, whatever it is, I don't know your individual life, right? But, you know, are we going after what He tells us? Are we cultivating that, right? But the problem is we have such a short-sighted view. We don't see, you know, somehow we haven't really appreciated this, what does it say here, this everlasting life. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't really appreciated what we can gain from Christ. Amen. Because He's still so theoretical to us. Isn't that right? You know, you think that you come to the conference and good for you, you know, you're doing better. Great, you know, you made the effort to come to the conference. Or great, you go to all the meetings during the week. Or maybe you go to some of the meetings. You may say, you pat yourself on the back, yes, I've made it to some meetings. Right? Yes, I read my Bible today. But then what? What are you doing with it? Right? Has that really produced some real growth in you? Has it really produced something living in you, something that really lasts? Right? So what are we sowing and what are we reaping? And I really like what Muchang shared a couple of days ago. You know, he admitted that he only has a little bit to choose from when it comes to the offerings. And, you know, he's probably the only one of the few to admit it, but I must say that I'm sure it's more than just him and others, a few others. I'm sure we all have just a few things to choose from. You know, if you imagine you have this big piece of land, would you just plant one carrot in it? I don't think so, right? You know, you plant one carrot, you chew it and it's gone. You've nothing left. You know, you're not even enough to make a salad. There's so much you can utilize. Do you only have one experience of Christ during your week? How can that be? Does that mean you're only awake for a couple hours and the rest of the time you're sleeping? What were you doing all that time? Right? There's so many. Do you not interact with people? Or do you not go to work? Do you not go to school? Don't you have anything? Or do you not does nothing go through your mind? Right? Certainly we, you know, certainly we are active people, right? We are functioning, we're doing things every day. So why don't we be more diligent to look for places where we can experience Christ? Right? Maybe you know that you're bound by your work. Say, Lord, I want to keep the feast of the Passover. Lord, you are my Passover lamb who freed me from, you can free me from this bondage. Or maybe you have a bad habit or something. Lord, free me from this. Amen. Or maybe you want to react in a certain way. Lord, I want to experience you as the meal offering. Amen. You are my unleavened bread. Right? I have pride. You can feel, you want to, somebody shared last night in their offering. They wanted recognition. They wanted credit. When people don't thank you for doing something, you feel bad inside. Well, that's an opportunity to experience Christ, right, as the meal offering, because he never sought any credit from man. There's so many ways. When you feel dead, right, he's the resurrection life, right? He is the feast of the first fruits. That is something that you can keep right there. So many things that we can experience, right? And these are all things that we can, and you need to remember them, right? I try to write them down, and I'm looking for more opportunities. Amen. Then you can have something to bring to the feast, the feasting time, right, for the Father. You know, we are just, I think part of the problem is that we're just so lazy. You know, we aren't very diligent, yet we expect so much, and we're disappointed when we don't get much. But the problem is that we're not very diligent. We give up so easily, right? I've seen many times some saints who, they go through some crisis in their life. They go through some hardship, and they just feel like the Lord isn't there. And they give up. They just say, forget this, it's not working. And it's really sad, because that was a perfect opportunity. Mm-hmm. Right? There are so many places where we can experience the salvation of the Lord, right? The, you know, how the Lord delivers us through different situations. Right? If we have the best tool available to us, yet somehow we don't believe in it, we don't use it. Right? What our sister shared last night about how, you know, she was feeling the D words, right? You're the depression and despair and, you know, whatever, right? All these negative thoughts. And Rahul said, just turn to the Lord. And, you know, sometimes people might think, well, that's just, you're not listening to me. You don't care. You're just telling me to turn to the Lord and, you know, you're not really helping me. I want you to listen to my problems. Let's talk about it. But that doesn't really solve the problem. That is an opportunity to labor on this land. Amen. Right? To tell someone to turn to the Lord is really good advice. It really is. It's the best advice. You don't need to say anything else. Are you saying that the Lord is not enough? This land is not rich enough. There's not something I can find in it that can help me through those D words, right? My despair and my depression and my whatever it is, distraction, right? Anxiety. Is there nothing in this land that I can find? There certainly is. But you just need to, yes, I do need to stop myself and come to Christ and say, Lord, I need you to supply me in this time, right? I need you to get me out of this mud I'm in. Yeah, so definitely there is something in there. So, you know, I would say that is wonderful advice. Yes, and because I'm not saying that just because it factually it's right, but I've experienced that many times myself, where there were times where nobody could help me. There was nobody would understand, because there's nobody had gone through something that I like what I was going through. The only one who could really understand was Christ, and he's the only one. He's the one sitting on the throne. Who else is higher than that you know, there's no man that can get me out of that. But I really experienced Christ in those times. And that is, you know, there's so many ways that we can, it's better than what any man can do. Right? And but we just have to be willing and diligent and believe it to labor in this land, to get that out of the land, to grow it, right? And then the Father can be so satisfied because something of Christ grew in me. I've touched something real of Christ appeared in my life, right? I've tasted something, I've eaten something real of Christ in my life. And this is what the Father wants to have, right? So, you know, I really hope that we can all experience that. I guess that's it. I've come to the end of my notes. Praise the Lord. You know, this is, I don't think there's so much more I can say, but we just have to really dig into this and work hard at it. Really be alert. Be alert for any chance where you can experience Christ as all the offerings. Mm-hmm. You know, the feasts are prepared for us. It really is a feast. There's so much in this land, but you just have to be diligent to work on it, right? Yeah, even if it is uncomfortable. You know, it must be the society we grew up in. We just don't like uncomfortable things. Everything's comfortable, right? You know, you want nice comfortable seats in your car. Your bed has to be the most comfortable. Everything, shoes, everything has to be comfortable. We want a comfortable life. That's what we all pursue, right? But, you know,
Comfortable church life,
yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, when I was in denominations, it was really comfortable. It was. The pastor did everything. You just have to, you know, you just have to come and enjoy. But in the church life, it's just, it's the opposite. It is uncomfortable, yeah. And the sad thing is that some people can't handle it. You know, I've seen, it's really sad to see that, at least in the church in Toronto, people start to enjoy the fellowship, but then eventually when they realize that they've got to put in some work, they have to deny themselves, they cannot pursue the things they once pursued, then they say, okay, hold on, this isn't what I thought, this is a bit too much for me, too much pressure. Then they just say goodbye. And many people have come and gone because of that reason. But, you know, we cannot be like that. We really have to keep pressing on, amen. Right? Yeah, so, in the church life, I really have seen there's been a lot of, and the enemy will not leave you alone. Yeah, the enemy will not stop. But in the land, we have everything we need to build the weapons too. Right? Christ is also very useful for that. He has everything we need. He is the victorious one. Right? We can really experience him in a way, in a very special way in the church life. Right? Yeah. So, yeah, praise the Lord. He is everything we need. Amen. Amen.
I really enjoyed that verse in Deuteronomy 26, 1 and 2, where it says, "And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the fruits of all the produce of the ground,
amen,
which you shall bring from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket,
mm-hmm,
and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide." Mm-hmm. We come to the meeting with a basket or with a meeting bag. Unfortunately, we come with a meeting bag with our Bibles and hymn books, no basket.